Welcome to the Netucation for the Nation podcast. This is long overdue. I've written thousands of articles on my blog, and now it's time for me to start recording a regular weekly podcast. This is Ramon Thomas in South Africa, and most of my topics are about the psychology of technology. I hope you'll stay tuned, and I hope you'll really enjoy the topics that I discuss. Please feel free to post your comments and questions, and I'll be sure to address them in all the future podcasts. This is going to be an exciting journey, and I really look forward to sharing all of my experience on the internet with you. It's 20 years that I've been on the internet, and I've been blogging for a very long time. I've been researching and using all sorts of search engines way before Google, hacking and all sorts of things. So it's a very exciting time.
In the last 2 weeks, several stories appeared in the news media in South Africa about Facebook confession pages. They were all from big universities like the University of KwaZulu-Natal, University of Cape Town, and apparently most of the others. There's been numerous references to matters of the heart, relationships between professors, lecturers, and students, all sorts of rumors and gossip, and maybe a lot of mundane confessions as well. So what typically happens is that the person who wants to make this confession submits their story via a Google form, and the moderator of the pages select the best ones, whatever they believe to be the best. And people like the pages, they like the comments, and they discuss them. And there's a lot of laughing and sharing in this open forum. The office environment in many companies may have better controls, but universities seem to have a very complex beast on their hands when it comes to enforcing a social media policy. So students are known to download movies and music using the campus networks, and there's certainly a group. There's always been a group of pot-smoking, alcohol-drinking students, and they never, very rarely get banned or found out because it's just one of those things, one of those phases that students seem to go through. Anyway, since the advent of the internet in corporate networks, HR departments have made people sign internet usage policies when they join a new company. And universities have similar policies. So often what happens is when you log on to the university computer network or the campus network, campus computers, you'll be prompted to accept this internet usage policy, which says that you agree to certain things, for example, not downloading copyrighted material, probably not downloading pornography, and so on. Whether people actually follow these is another question. But here's the thing. Since most people are using social media on their own devices, their own smartphones and their own tablets, how does this actually apply? How does these social media policies or internet usage policies actually apply to a personal gadget that somebody brings to them, brings to the office, or brings to the university? Certainly the university's network administrators don't have any software or programs that can stop people and block them from accessing these sites and force them to comply. It's not practical to control people's private use of the internet, and yet their actions can cause irreparable damage to the institution and the people let's just say the people who are vilified in these Facebook confessions. So in the past, I've suggested the following options for organizations to moderate the use of the internet. One, block all the access to social media sites. Two, open complete access to social media sites. Three, give people access before 8 o'clock and after 4 o'clock, when those are sort of normal office hours, and maybe the same could apply to universities. as you can see, this does not really apply to student life and people who use their own smartphones, because they have them with them all the time. They have them in lectures, they have them in the bathroom. So what can you really do? Maybe the best method yet to be tried is embarrassment. In the early days of the internet, some companies published top 10 lists of downloaders. Now, those are the people who were the ones who downloaded the most information, the most files, the most videos, the most photos on the computer network. And this form of naming and shaming was effective in the short term and especially in the long term. People did not want their names on these lists, so their behavior was adjusted accordingly. It's sort of self-reinforced. And your social media policy may include a clause on naming and shaming people, because I am not clear on the legality of this. I will actually try and find out. But this is my suggestion for you. If you are a university professor, if you are a university lecturer, you really may want to seriously explore this in your next management meeting.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. I hope you'll subscribe to my channel on Podomatic, and also subscribe to my RSS feed on netucation.co.za. If you want to reach me and talk to me about topics for the show and possibly guest interviews, I'm open to all of that. Please call my office on 081-4399-555. In the near future, I'll be taking guest calls. And I'm just working on the different technologies that's available. So in the meantime, please stay tuned. And remember, you can find out a lot more information on my blog, which is ramonthomas.com. That's ramonthomas.com. That's me over and out for this week. I look forward to chatting to you soon.